Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and also the pastor of New Vision for Life Church, New Vision for Life Church. And we have our guest host with us this morning. Say good morning, beloved.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Glad to have you on today.
Amen. And forgive me, she is not the guest host. She is our co-host this morning. So it is good to have her. And she didn't give her name, and I forgot to give her name.
Good morning. This is Tamika Garnes.
Amen. Amen. And you got to get used to saying that you are the co-host.
Yes. Amen.
Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Amen. God bless. God bless. Well, we want to say good morning to Tamika Shelton. Praise be unto God, Tamika Shelton, to her mother Joyce. Thank you, Jesus, to Joyce in New York, to Prophetess Kim, to Prophetess Dorn. Let's see. Deacon Thomas Farr, praise be unto God for him. And there are many others. Beloved, is there anyone you would like to say good morning to this morning or today?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say good morning to those that you specified. Good morning to each and every one of you all. And I just want to thank you all for being faithful to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And so we do appreciate the time that you spend with us on Saturday mornings. And just want to give a big shout out to my husband this morning and my son. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice. And remember, I tell you, to rejoice means to do joy over and over and over again. That's how I like to read it. So we need to be glad and have joy over and over and over again. For this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. And just as Minister Tamika said, you know, we are so grateful for each and every one of you that wake up on Saturday mornings on the Sabbath day and you come on this line and, you know, to be with us, to share with us, to support us. And we are so, so grateful. We would not be the same without you. Remember, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and that's your heart to mine, our heart to God, you know, God's heart to us. This is a heart matter. And whatever it is we're discussing, trust me, it is about the heart, the spirit of our heart, the condition our heart is in, our opinions, our thoughts, all kinds of things that we will talk about. It will deal with the heart. Now, also, before we open in prayer, and Minister Tamika, I will be asking you this morning, dear, to open in prayer. So okay. I'll give you a moment. But this morning, before we go into prayer, please let me say that if there is a topic that is dear to your heart that you wish to speak about, email me at heart-to-heart. I start to say when we get to the heart of the matter. It's heart, the number two, heart, at newvisionforlife.com. That's heart, the number two, heart, at newvisionforlife.com. Email me there and let me know that there is something dear to your heart that you would like us to put on the air and discuss. And I promise you, I promise you that we will discuss it or at least mention it. It depends on what it is that you want to talk about. We will do so. So I encourage you to do that. Remember also that I would love for all of you to get your mates or the men in your life to join Deacon Thomas Farr on Mondays and Thursdays, I believe it is. Join him for Issues Christian Men Talk. Issues Christian Men Talk. So we want you to get your men there so that they can discuss matters of the heart concerning the men. It's vitally important. So I definitely encourage you to make that connection, okay? All righty. Okay, we're going to go ahead and open in prayer. I know you, let me say this too. I know a lot of people might say, well, wait a minute. You're saying that you're opening in prayer, but you've already been on the air for 6 minutes. So how are you opening in prayer? Purposely do not pray at the top of the hour because I am giving others a chance to get on the line. I'm giving others a chance to get on the line. So that's why I like to go through my salutations, you know, if there are any announcements that we need to make. We'll make those announcements, but I like to give people a chance to get on the line because just like you, they don't want to miss this either. That's right. They don't want to miss it either. And so not everybody is dialing numbers at 9:03 every Saturday morning. So that is why, you know, I like to talk a few minutes before we actually pray and get started. And good morning also to the Crawfords from North Carolina, Prophet and Songbird Crawford. Good morning to you. And there's so many others. There's so many others. But just know that we love you. We love you. All right, beloved, Minister Tabika, go ahead, dear, and open us in prayer, please.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Lord. We just lift you up this morning, Lord, and we just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. Thank you for keeping us throughout the night, Lord God. Thank you for covering us, and thank you for protecting us, Lord God. Father, we come before you this morning, oh God, just wanting you to know how much you mean to us because you're so faithful in everything that you do, Lord God. And, Lord, we just continue to hope in you and trust in you and know that everything is working out for our good, knowing that our prayers are not going unanswered, knowing that for some of us we may be in the midst of the storm, but that we would find our peace, in the midst of the storm, Lord God. And so, Lord, we rejoice. We rejoice at your great name because you are great, and everything that you do, Father God, has plan and it has a purpose, Lord God. Let your will become our will, Lord God. Let us give up, Lord God, our will. Let us be unselfish, Lord God. Let us lean on you. Let us begin to just know that when we come to you in prayer, Lord God, that you don't ignore us. And just because things don't happen when we think they should happen, Lord God, we know that you are listening. And so, Father, we just thank you for everyone on this line. Lord, whatever it is that they need from you right now, Lord God, we just ask that you just begin to let them know that you hear them, that you see everything that's going on around them, that they are not in the situations that they are in by themselves, that you love them, and that you want what's great and what's awesome for them. And so we know, Lord God, that you don't withhold any good thing from us, Lord God. We know that you don't. But sometimes what we may think is good for us, you may not think is good for us. So, God, we just trust, Lord God, that you would just begin to open doors on our behalf. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for how you build us up, how you train us, how you motivate us, how you encourage us, how you just the daddy that we need that will never turn his back on us, that you provide, Father God. You provide in ways that we would never. And so, God, we just give you glory on this morning. We give you glory on this morning. We thank you for being a marvelous God. We thank you for fighting battles on our behalf in the name of Jesus, oh God. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let the people say, Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Let me also, for my last shout out, my nephew Joshua. God bless you, beloved. It's always good to see you online with us. And my sister and her husband should be traveling here. They should be here probably in the next few minutes or within a half hour or so. They're traveling here to Baltimore, Maryland from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And they're coming in so that we can see my nephew. And I'm excited about seeing them. And it's going to be a very short visit today. We'll be together until about 3 o'clock. And then they got to go back out of town. So to God be the glory. I love them. And I'm just excited about my family. Always excited about the family. So listen, beloved. Listen. Are you ready for this, Minister Tabika? Are you ready for what we're going to share today?
Yes, ma'am, I'm ready.
All righty. So, look, I got a confession to make. So those of you, of course, that don't see me, but you only come on the radio show, and maybe if you have Facebook, you'll see a picture of two. I very seldom ever put any pictures up. Dealing with me. I'm not a picture person. So you very seldom will see anything of me, but I wear weaves and wigs. I like them. I feel more confident when I have them. And then when I, take my hair out of those things and my hair has grown, I like the thickness of my hair. I like the length of my hair. I feel good about it. And this happens to me every single time. Of course, in wearing the wigs and the weaves and so forth, when I do my natural, they have to cut off dead ends, because I've had it covered up so long. They've had to cut it off. And when they cut it, I don't care when, what, whatever, however, it's always shorter than I want it to be. And that's because I have anywhere from 2 to 4 inches maybe of dead hair, and they have to cut all of that out. And then I don't like the way I look with the shorter hair. And I love short hairstyles. Hear me, y'all. I love short hairstyles. And some people can really rock a short hairstyle. They can do a long one and whatever the case may be. But I prefer my hair to be longer. And again, like I said, my one daughter, she has a short haircut. And that girl can rock that thing. Minister Tabika rocks her short hairstyle. And they are beautiful with it. They are beautiful. But in my eyes, I am not as beautiful as I think I am with the longer hair. Now, so listen, y'all. I mean, this is true confession here, okay? This is a heart-to-heart matter. That's what this is. And so in thinking about that, like whenever my hair gets cut and I've got to make my first public appearances, I get very nervous about it. I get very nervous about it because I'm not feeling confident. And, and who doesn't want somebody to say, hey, that looks nice. Your hair looks nice. Your outfit looks nice. We want to be complimented. And so when I thought about all of this, and I'm like, what is it, God? What is it that makes us want to be received and perceived as beautiful? Minister Tabika and I were talking last night about the prince and his beautiful fiance, and how pretty she is and so forth. And Minister Tamika, share what you said, honey, about that.
As I looked at the young lady, I believe that she is black. Like she's one of us. And so,
who's mixed?
What? Huh?
Yeah, I said, yeah, she's mixed. She is mixed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So she got a better chance of being, you know, his fiance. And I said to Apostle, I said, but he would not have chose one like me. And when I say one like me, I'm talking about my skin tone. And I say that because she has a chance. She got the chance, and she has an extreme, you know, she's able to pass as a Caucasian person, maybe with a tan. So she has that look. But I said, as far as me, he probably wouldn't have chose a me, because my skin tone is pure in the way that I look. Because listen, one time I was, and it took me a long time to get to where I am now, and I still have my insecurities, just like Apostle's talking about her hair. I have insecurities about my hair as well. And you know, she always tells me when, you know, she likes the styles that I wear, the short styles. She likes them, and she's the one that compliments me the most next to my husband about my hair and the way that I look, and I appreciate that. But for me, sometimes I still have my moments where I just don't feel as pretty. And so when my hair is not done, I don't like putting on good outfits. I don't know what that is about. But when my hair is not done, I don't like putting on good outfits, because I feel like I'm wasting the outfit because my hair is not done. So, you know, I think we all have little insecurities about ourselves, but the thing is that we shouldn't allow those insecurities to define who we really are, or we should not let those insecurities impede on what God has said about us. Go ahead, Apostle.
Excuse me. You are 100% right. And we're going to bring this around and get God in this and get the Bible in this, and let's start with the fact that when God created man, and you know, he created man in such a fashion that man is attracted to us first and foremost. I mean, I guess we're all attracted to something first and foremost by what we see. What we see is normally the very first thing that attracts us. And now I'm about to mention something that goes way beyond a Minister Tabika's years. I don't even know if she knows this trip. So she's such a youngin'. She's just such a youngin'. Me and Lady Joyce and the Crawfords, you know, like, we'll remember these people. Prophetess Dawn might as well. But back in the, I think it was in the 60s, there was a movie called 10 with Bo Derek, and she was a Caucasian woman, and she was the first Caucasian woman that I think we saw on TV with cornrows in her hair and beads in her hair, and she was rated a 10 in this movie. And, you know, and from that point on, that's when I became aware of the fact that when men look at women, you know, they rate them literally on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, if you're a 10, that means you got it going on. And if you're a 1, like, you're not even being noticed. So, you know, that was the time that I became aware of it. And back in the 20s, in the 20s and the 30s, between the 20s all the way up to the early 60s, the women that were attractive to men, according to society, Marilyn Monroe, Jane Russell, Jane Mansfield, these women were voluptuous women. In fact, a little known fact to us is that Marilyn Monroe, she literally was a size 14. So, and you know, according to today's standards, size 14 starts the big and beautiful women. The size 14 is the smallest size for us more well endowed women or heavier set women, and it goes on 14 on up to 20 something, 30 something, whatever the case may be. But that's where we come out of, that's the plus size. We come out of the regular size into the plus size at size 14. So Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell and some of these other women, they were considered, they were the average women, but they were plus size women. Then in the 60s came along this girl, this model that just messed everything up for everybody. And her name was Twiggy. And Twiggy couldn't have been no more than a size one, if that. She appeared to have been an anorexic person. And then the whole modeling industry changed from the average woman size of 14 and above to now you had to be a size zero, one, two, you know, not more than a four. You got to be too heavy at that point. You had to be no more than 110 pounds, and you had to be like 5 feet eight and be that 110 pounds. So this is, you know, this is how society began to judge us and say what's beautiful and what's not beautiful. And after Twiggy came out, our nation went into such an uproar of being skinny and so forth that our teenage girls developing these images of themselves and looking at what the world said was beautiful, that they began to come down with eating disorders, trying to be skinny. It was anorexic neurosis or bulimia. And so these are the changes. And some men have it, but very few have it. But some men do have this, you know, image issues. So this whole thing about being thin, men can gain weight, they can get gray hair, and they just become distinguished. But a woman, you know, she gets gray hair. If she gains weight, you know she's old. That's how society sees us. We are old, and we're coming into the day and stage now where women are able to embrace the maturing look. You know, I see more women with beautiful heads of gray hair. I have been fighting gray hair, God knows, for so many years. I don't even know, you know, when I started it. But anyway, you know, so with the gray hair and the weight and so forth, you know, who is to deem who's beautiful and who isn't? People discriminate against us because we are heavy set. You know, and I mean, and the list goes on. And Minister Tabika and I were talking about, we were looking at television and saw these actresses on here with lips that you know were not their own. What were we saying about that, Minister Tabika?
You said, you asked the question that why are their lips that big or why do they look like that? And I said, because those injections that those, I think they're Botox injections or something that they get in their lips to make their lips look plumper and bigger, just like ours. And I said, you know, that we were teased. I know I was teased for having big lips. And so now here we are where now they want big lips. You know, most of us, our culture, where we come from, you know, we have the backsides, you know, our derrières are bigger. So now you see that some of them have the exact same thing. And I said to Apostle, I said, you know, they call us monkeys. They say we look like monkeys, but then they want to be like us. And so evidently it's something pretty about us, because even if, when it comes to tanning, you know, sometimes I look and I can't really tell sometimes whether they're mixed or they're, you know, a true blooded Caucasian, because the tanning that they get done. And so, you know, it just makes me wonder that they mocked us for the way that we look. They put on blackface and all of that other stuff to make fun of us. But then you go get a tan. You know, it's just a lot that makes me think sometimes, like, you know, they made fun of us, but what's telling me is that it may have been some jealousy there, you know, because because of our skin tone, we are prettier. They deemed us ugly because of our skin tone. It wasn't even our features, you know, our facial features or any of that. It was because of our skin tone that they hated us. And what it really says to me is that we are a beautiful people. We are a beautiful people. And what it also says is that it's the way that people see you. You know, it's the way that people look at you. Like, how, what do they see when they look at you? Because you could be beautiful on the outside, you know, but when you begin to speak, you know, when you begin to interact with people and you have a nasty attitude, that can make you ugly. No matter how pretty you are, people will remember that attitude of yours. And people will even say, you know, such and such. And somebody may be like, yeah, the girl with the nasty attitude. Like, they have looked past or beyond how beautiful you are, because your attitude, you know, went far and beyond how you look. So that's, people remember certain things about you. They things about you, you know, like I said, the example that I just gave, that's how we talk. You know, when we're talking to one another, you don't know the person's name, but you're trying to describe a person. That is how, and if you ever, because I've had conversations like that before where I don't know the person's name, but I'm describing them, and the other person knows exactly who I'm talking to without even me saying the name. It's because that's what people remembers the way that we interact with one another.
Amen, amen, amen. Absolutely, absolutely. And you went right there, you know. That beauty on the outside, you know, is one thing, but the beauty from the inside. You can be as pretty as you want to be, and if you have a nasty attitude, that makes you ugly. And I remember, I don't have this conversation much with people nowadays, but I remember back in the day, you know, when you were trying to hook your girlfriend up with one of your male friends and so forth, and the dude wants to know, well, what does she look like? And if you start by saying, man, she has a nice attitude, or, you know, she's really personable or whatever the case, they immediately say, oh, so she's ugly. Because you started with character, her character, instead of her outward quality. Because the man immediately believes that if she was really pretty and you're trying to hook him up and he says, what does she look like? It would be, man, she is the bomb. I mean, she's got beautiful eyes and this, that, and the other. You would start describing her physical characteristics. But the minute you start describing the inner person, they're saying, yep, she's ugly, because you got to talk about her inner man before you talk about her outer man. So that means I'm going to have to work to like this one. And I mean, it's amazing, you know, our thought pattern on this thing. You know, the exercise equipment and the gyms and so forth, you know, they are making so much money because we deal with the self-image, you know, so much on what the society say is beautiful. What can we get away with? I got to jump real quick for a moment. Somewhere on Facebook, and I don't know if I've saved it in my own message, but there is a picture there on Facebook of now the woman that is called the most beautiful woman in the world. And this is a black woman, and she's from one of the African countries, I believe. And I mean, and she looks like a Barbie doll. She is beautiful. And the child is 19 years old and is making $15,000 an hour in her modeling. And, you know, and she was not a model, of course, to begin with. She posted a picture on Instagram, you know, of her being at home, outside, or whatever, and somebody saw it and said, wow, this girl is gorgeous. And needless to say, the picture got to agencies, and the girl got picked up, and she's now deemed the most beautiful girl in the world, a woman in the world, 19 years old, and I do mean she's black. When I say black, I mean black. I don't mean Afro-American black, you know, saying the black race. I mean, her skin tone is black, but the shape of her face, she looks like a Barbie doll. She's tiny, and it's truly amazing. Okay, so back to the exercising equipment. All of these people, you know, going to the gym, trying to exercise, trying to get small, all of the hair clubs, you know, you're losing your hair, you can get your hair back. I've seen the women, especially, you know, on the commercials for your hair and so forth. You know, once we have hair on our head, we're more confident. We're confident in our jobs. We go from being a sales clerk to being the manager of the store. You know, all of these things happen because of our beauty. Well, Tabika, I want you, please, honey, to get First Timothy 4 verses 7 and 8. Let's start there. And while she's getting that, those of us that have problems with exercising, and I hope you all understand where I'm coming from when I say this, let me free you up a bit. Let me free you up. And so let me preface that also, that after my sister reads this, you'll know I'm joking. You know, we need to exercise, et cetera, et cetera. But let me free you up. I'm going to take you to the Word of God, and I'm going to free you up about exercise. Go ahead, beloved. Would you read that scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8?
But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto.
I'm sorry, stop right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, those of you that need that, it says bodily exercise profiteth little. There's your freedom, and he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, you know it didn't mean that to the extent that I'm taking it. But look, I grab onto every straw I can. So go ahead, my love. Continue on.
But godliness of the life that now is and of that which is to come.
Amen. So that is telling us, honey, according to the Bible, that we can do all the bodily exercise that we want. We can look as beautiful as we want. We can be in great shape. All of that is good, and we can still be full of demons. We can be in such a mess, you know, because we have not exercised our godliness. We have not exercised that. And our society puts pressure on us to look fit and trim, go beyond our health concerns, have the flowing hair, and so forth, You know, the woman's beauty is being measured, you know, again, about how she looks, how tall she is, how pretty she is, and so forth. Does she conform to what the Western society says is beautiful and so forth? But God is saying, no, it is your godliness. It is your inward beauty that makes a difference. Baby, if you would read for us 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 5, would you read that, please?
First Peter 3:5. Whose adorning, let it not be that adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands.
Amen. Amen. Again, pointing out here that our beauty should not come from outward adornment. Now, listen, beloved. We can step over into a whole nother ball game here. This is where a lot of the holiness churches, other religions, you know, get that women shouldn't wear jewelry, braiding their hair, and so forth. You know, that we shouldn't be adorning ourselves, taking something completely out of context and stretching it to what man wants and what man says, and keeping a matter of control and so forth and so on. Do not do that. Do not be in bondage. Do not be in bondage. That's why I made the joke about, you know, the exercises, that it profits it little. Anyone, just the way I took that, I hate the exercise. And I can take it completely out of context and says, look, the word of God says that exercise profits little. So therefore, I do not have to exercise. You know, so you get what I'm saying? I can take that. I can run with that. And so, you know, no, you can't tell me that I have to exercise. The word says that it profits little. You know, but in all of these things that we look at, you must understand, put it in context. Who is he talking to? When was this being said? Why was it being said? And so forth. But the main thing here is, instead, we should be concerned about our inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. It's great worth in God's sight. Man, I'm telling you, that is what's beautiful. Our inner man, our nature, when we have God-like character, this is what the Lord is looking at. This is what he says is beautiful. So, yes, we all want some man to tell us, you know, women, we all want some man to tell us that we're beautiful. And if we're wise, you know, when a woman tells us that we are beautiful, that's even more important than a man tells us, because they say we are so catty against one another and so forth. You know, but what is God calling beautiful? What is God calling beautiful? And I know God called my daughter over here, Tabika. He called her beautiful. I remember when she shared that with me, that he called her beautiful. You know, sister, you have anything that you want to say at this moment?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to go back to that 1 Peter 3:3-5, and the beginning where it says your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. God is not saying that we can't wear these things. He's just saying that should not define who you are. It should not make you feel beautiful. You know, it's not Beauty is not these things. And it's just like how some of us women hide behind makeup. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not knocking any. Hear me. I'm not knocking anyone who wears makeup. I choose not to wear it. What I wear is, I think it's called like a complexion something where it just it evens my skin, my face. It evens the tone on my face because I have like my skin, I have like marks and stuff on my face from acne and stuff. So that's what I use to try to make my skin tone all one color or all one. It looks like it's uniform. And so because when I see women who wear makeup all the time, and then when I see them without makeup, I don't know who they are. And I'm like, really? And it's because the makeup has changed their complexion, or it makes them look different when they have it on. But that's who they are with makeup. But they look like a totally different person when they don't have it on. And so I said, for me, I did not want makeup to do that to me. So I choose not to wear all of that other stuff. I have worn it. I just chose not to make it an everyday thing for me. And that's what works for me. So I'm not saying that, I don't want anybody to get it twisted that I'm saying that you shouldn't wear makeup and blah, blah, blah. I'm saying this is what works for me. And so I just think that sometimes, and it's not all women, some women hide behind makeup because when they have it on, it makes them look like a totally different person. It gives them a beauty because makeup does give you a glow. It makes you look beautiful. But the thing is, who are you when the makeup is not on? Who are you? Because if you hide behind the makeup, when you take it off, who are you really? Do you see yourself as just as beautiful when you don't have it on? Or you feel like, oh, God, I'm so ugly without my makeup. I have to wear my makeup. You know, that is what God is saying, that these things do not make you beautiful. It does not make you beautiful. And so even today's society, this is what they've shown us is what is pretty. Long hair. All the makeup. If you dress good, if you have on the latest fashion, if you have curves and all of that other stuff that comes with that, you know what I'm talking about. And now some women have even started getting ribs removed for a smaller waist.
Yes.
So they're getting their ribs removed so that their waist will look smaller. This is not what God ordained. This is not where we should be going to feel beautiful. It's wrong. First of all, our ribs were placed there for a certain reason. And if we do it biblically, we know what the rib stands for. We also know that the ribs protect the heart. So you're removing things. The ribs are there for a specific reason. You're removing them. Why? Not because you were in a bad car accident and you had a broken rib and maybe the doctor had to remove it. You're removing it because you want a smaller waist. This is not what God wants. This is not what He saw when He created us in His image. Everything that came when we were born, everything that God placed in us, all the organs, all the muscles, all the blood vessels, everything that He made when it came to us has a purpose. It has a purpose. Sometimes that those things stop working. Sometimes we need heart transplant, kidneys, because those things have failed. But they were placed there for a reason, and it's not for us to go removing stuff if it's working. You know, if it's working. It's not for us to remove things because we want to be beautiful. So let's go remove some ribs so we can have a smaller waist because that makes me pretty. So it's just twisted.
Amen, amen, amen. Very, very, very good points. you know, going right back to that scripture when you said that, you know, that God was not saying you couldn't do all these things, but don't let, he was telling us, don't let this determine who we are. Telling women, don't concentrate on being just physically beautiful, but instead concentrate on your inner selves. And according to the Bible, a woman's true beauty is revealed by her character, not by her her appearance. And you made some excellent points, my love, excellent points. And ladies, this is one thing that I pray that we will encourage you, you know, to be beautiful in the eyes of God first and foremost. And that will come, of course, from your personal attitude, your character. That's where your beauty would come from. It is the woman's inner beauty and not her outer beauty, which is of great worth to God, which is of great worth to God. So therefore, God is saying when he looks at you, when he, glory to God, I had my moment here. When God looks at you and he sees himself in you, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Your character is beautiful. Your inward man is beautiful. This is what God is looking at. This is what God is looking at, I'm telling you. So I pray that, you know, with what you are hearing today, that you will take the time and say, you know, I am beautiful. I am beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I want y'all all, you know, to take that time and determine what really is beautiful. And I like it when Minister Tabitha said, you know, she chooses not to wear makeup. I do wear very little makeup. I wear mascara and lipstick and eyeliner, I think. I don't anything on my face. I don't even know how to do it. And it's not because I think we shouldn't wear makeup. It has nothing to do with that. I just honestly have never done it and don't know how to do it and figure I would mess it up. So I never bothered in it. So I figured if I could just do my eyes and do my lips, I would be okay. I would be okay. So that's as far as I went with it. But you know, my thing was always the hair thing. It was almost, and listen, I know that that had a lot to do with where I was raised, you know, coming from the mountains in Pennsylvania, living in an area where I went to high school. When I was in high school, there was 4 blacks in my high school. So everything that I could judge beauty by was all coming from some people that didn't look like me, and I wanted to look like them, and that's what I saw the boys liked, and so I wanted to have the long flowing hair and be thin and beautiful. And I mean, I had to compete with that every single day. Every single day. I did not realize how beautiful black was until I came to Baltimore. And that was in 1983 that I came to Baltimore. And to see this many black people together, gorgeous. I mean, people with long hair, short hair, big butts, no butts, tall, short, you know, the different colors and so forth and so on. I mean, I was like, wow, look at this. Look, other than blonde and blue eyes and a size 2. So it was an amazing transition for me, an amazing transition. And what I found interesting was that, well, beauty, of course, comes in all shapes and sizes. But just like what we're talking about today, talking about the godly character, that no matter how pretty you are on the outside, if your inside is not godly, if it's not holy, if you don't have good character, if you don't have that, man, you're not beautiful. You're not beautiful. And I know some of us have heard about some of the top models in the world, you know, who are beautiful on the outside and they're the most difficult people to work with, have nasty attitudes and so forth. And so no matter how pretty they are, people don't care to be around them. They don't care to be around them. Are you someone that when people look at you, besides saying, gosh, she's beautiful, man, she has gorgeous hair. Oh, man, look at her legs. I wish I had legs like that. But when they really talk about you, are they able to say, that's somebody that I would always want in my corner. She is so supportive. You know, she is so helpful. She cares about people. Whatever the case may be, you know, whatever adjectives you want to put in it, do they say that about you? Or is all they can say is how good you look on the outside? Is that all they can say? Wow. Folks, you know, I know Minister Tabika and I have been talking, and yes, you had the opportunity to press one on your keypad. I forgot to tell you, but y'all, I'm looking at all the numbers here, and all of y'all are regulars, so you know that if there was something that you wanted to share, by all means, you could share it, you know, press one on your keypad. We do have a few more minutes left. Is there anything that you would like to throw in this pot? Is there something that you would like to say in dealing with this? I know I put up on Facebook, beauty is only skin deep. And then there's the other one, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, there's somebody for everybody. That statement is not true because there's not enough of somebody for everybody. There's not enough of that. And some people were never meant to be a couple. But there's something that is holding to your eyes that you will deem as being beautiful that I may not see the same thing in it. So it is, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It is. But let your character speak louder than your makeup, your hair, your clothes. Let your character speak louder than that. Amen, amen. Anything else? Beloved, you have anything? Anyone online? Is something that you would like to say?
No, ma'am. I don't have anything. I just, this is where these talks should happen with our young ladies before they get to that age where now their society, they seen things on TV or they hang around other girls that their appearance is everything to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You even had some that will commit suicide because they feel that they're
mm-hmm.
ugly. So
mm-hmm.
if we start talking to our young girls, you know, when they're little, I mean little, and just let
mm-hmm.
that grow and marinate and just tell them how beautiful they are and just tell them till they get to the point where I'm like, look, you don't have to keep saying it, I know I'm pretty and blah, blah, blah. Not in an arrogant way, but that their self-esteem is high and they know that they are beautiful and nobody can tell them that they're not, no matter how they look. And you know, this is what's happening a lot. Our young women are being plagued with their bodies, you know, if they're too big, if they're too skinny, if they don't have a butt, you know, if they do have one, you know, we have to let them know that they have to embrace and accept how God created them, accept the skin that they're in, and don't allow people to basically change their minds about who they are. They need to know what God said about them. Just like when I heard my father in heaven tell me that I was beautiful, my whole demeanor and everything changed about myself. But the thing is, no matter how much someone tells you you're beautiful, if you don't see it for yourself, it does not matter
mm-hmm.
what they say.
It doesn't matter what they say.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. It's so true. That is so, so true. I'm telling you, that is so, so, so true. Listen, and let me share this with you. There was this couple that got married, and when this man met the woman, first of all, you know, she was absolutely gorgeous, had the long, beautiful hair, beautiful eyes, had that wonderful shape, the whole nine yards. I'm telling you, she was a knockout, and they dated for a while. Then he asked her to marry him, and she agreed, and they had a gorgeous wedding, a very expensive wedding, and so forth. So then they go on their honeymoon, and so their wedding night, you know, their wedding night, he is waiting for her to join him in bed, and she's in the bathroom, you know, getting herself together, and then she comes out of the bathroom, and he looks at her, and like he's like, who in the world is that? He doesn't recognize her. And he's like looking, and he gets up out of bed, and she comes and sits on the bed. But then he gets up out of bed, and he goes and he sits on this chair. And she's saying, honey, why don't you come on to bed? Why are you sitting over there? And he said, well, because the woman I fell in love with is over here in this chair. So her wig was over there, her false eyelashes, fine clothes. She had on padded bra. She had on padded panties that had the, you know, the butt in it and so forth. So everything that made her attractive to him, she was able to take it off, and she put it in the chair. So he said, I'm going to sleep over here in the chair because this is the woman I fell in love with, because who he saw that came out of that bathroom was not the woman that he was accustomed to seeing. And we see this more times than not. We see this more times than we do have a caller that does wish to say something. I don't know if I got it. Beloved, your last four digits, 2684. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning,
dear.
I'm fine. How are you?
It's good to hear your voice. It's good to hear that you're not ailing this morning. It's good to hear your spirit is strong. And this is an excellent topic of conversation. I was just laying back in the cut, just listening. From a male perspective, you ladies have really laid something on me as a male.
Mm.
And it would probably take me an hour and a half or 2 hours to elaborate on all the wonderful things that you ladies said. But you ladies hit so many points, so many key points. But one thing I want to stress, that the beauty starts from within the home. It starts from your mother and your father telling you you're beautiful. It starts from your mother and father telling you you're special. It is not derived from movies. It's not derived from TV. It's not derived from anything else. It should start in the home. And that's part of our problem in our society now. It's not enough of those type of things going on in the home. We've got away from that. And it all comes back to the home. It starts in the home. I really believe that from my heart.
Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, let me say, beloved, I am honored that you chimed in and spoke. We always love to hear the male's opinion about whatever it is that we're talking about. You know, definitely love hearing it. And it's good to hear, especially on topics such as this. It's good to hear a man say, no, we have to start this in the home, just as Minister Tabika was saying. You know, always complimenting our children, telling our children, you know, that they are beautiful and they're able to accomplish whatever it is that needs to be accomplished. So I do thank you so very, very much. And, yes, praise be unto God, I am definitely doing better. To God be all the glory. I am much, much, much better. So, but yes, and this, let me say this, y'all. This is, I started to call him Dr. Antoine Jones. This is Antoine Jones. He was a guest on our show once before in selling insurance and other things, helping to take care of your needs when it comes to this. And hear me when I say this. He is an attractive man, okay? He is. I've known him since 83, 84, and he's a nice-looking brother. He is a nice-looking brother. And I've seen him amongst a bunch of guys. You know, we've all worked together and so forth and so on. And just like with us women, you know, the men judge us by our outer appearance to begin with. Girls, ladies, we look at the guys and say, yeah, he's fine, he's this, he's that, and he's the other. It is still the same thing with them to a major degree, because you can be as fine as you want, but if you cut women out, if you're drinking and smoking and being nasty towards people, I don't care how fine you are, nobody wants to deal with you. And this is a young man that has mentored young men. He has been, he's nice looking, he's very polite, he's educated, he's fun to be with and so forth and so on. And he is a good representative of the type of man that you would want in your life or sharing. Like when he made these comments he made, I can receive those comments from him. Why? Because I know his character. See, I know he's not on here just talking smack. I know his character. And his character makes him look even better. So, to me, y'all, Antoine, to y'all, I thank you. I thank you, dear heart. I thank you so much for being with us before and for opening up and sharing with us today. It really blessed my heart. It really blessed my heart. Thank you, sweetie.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, thanks to God. We have come to the time where we must leave you. Lady Tabika, is there something you'd like to say in our closing, darling?
No, ma'am.
Okay, good to go. All righty. All right, saints, we are going to leave you always, always, 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Come back and join us here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And as always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon him. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings that he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. Therefore, I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you go forth even this day and be a blessing unto someone. And when you do, I love you with all my heart. But no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye, beloved. Take care. Y'all have an awesome, blessed day. God bless.
God bless.